I want you to imagine God assigning you with an important task. It's so important that He personally comes down to recruit you. And then in this meeting, He gives you a 5-point bullet outline because He doesn't want you to mess anything up. He got it straight with you. And He's going to summarize what He will do and what you should do. The amazing thing is, though, if you look at those 5 points that I gave you before, what God's going to do, one that we're to do, it's almost identical, the assignment that He has given to everyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today, let's take a look at this passage here as we examine Moses as God is going to meet him in the wilderness. I'd like you to take your scriptures, if you will, and turn to the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 3. I had kind of a tongue-in-cheek title for this. I called it Fireside Chat. And it's Moses coming before the burning bush. It was far from a fireside chat that he was having. It was a scary and holy event that he was actually having. Exodus chapter 3. I want you to imagine God assigning you with an important task. It's so important that He personally comes down to recruit you. And then in this meeting, He gives you a 5-point bullet outline because He doesn't want you to mess anything up. He got it straight with you. And He's going to summarize what He will do and what you should do. And first, under the first 4 points of what He will do, He does this. He says He will be with you through the endeavor He's going to assign you to. Point one. Point two, He says, listen, I'm going to give you a token. Not only one to look forward to, but also one that you can look back on so that you'll be able to complete the task. Second thing I'm going to do. Third thing I'm going to do, I'm going to lay out a detailed plan so you will know what to say, how to go about doing this whole thing, and so you will be able to actually accomplish the task. And then the fourth thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to appoint a time and place where we're going to meet again. And the only thing you have to do, the fifth point in the bullet, is that you just go and do it. 5 simple things. How many of you would go and do it if God made it that simple and that clear? Any volunteers? Well, He made it pretty clear, and this is what God is doing for Moses, because we're going to see these exact points that I just gave you in this chapter, what He assigned Moses to do, to handle the encounter that He's sending him on, because Moses is going to be used by God to deliver God's people, and he has an important task. The amazing thing is, though, if you look at those 5 points that I gave you before, what God's going to do, one that we're to do, it's almost identical, the assignment that He has given to everyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be able to see that as well. Moses struggled with that assignment, and sometimes we struggle with the exact same or similar assignment, because God wants to use you and I to lead people to the Lord, to point them to the Lord so that He can deliver them. And He has given us the same things. I'll be with you. I'll do all those things with you. Well, today, let's take a look at this passage here as we examine Moses as God is going to meet him in the wilderness. It begins here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, here we find Moses as he is in Midian. He's from 40 years of age, and now he's 80 years of old. So 40 years he has been literally in this wilderness, and he's tending sheep. Now, I hope you catch just the issue that's taking place with Moses tending the sheep, because if you read earlier and you go into the book of Genesis and you look at Joseph as his his family is coming out of the promised land and they're going to reside now in Egypt in the land of Goshen. One of the things that Moses says, listen, the Egyptians don't like shepherds. Don't tell them that you're a shepherd. It's despised by the Egyptians. And so later on we read here, Moses, who has been not only in Pharaoh's household for 40 years, now he's in the wilderness. What is he doing? Tending sheep. The despised thing of the Egyptians. Because what God is doing, he has been equipping Moses to do a work of deliverance. And he used the schooling of Egypt and the training that he got there so he would become mighty in words as well as in deeds. But also, that wasn't enough. Moses needed more than that. He needed 40 years in the backside of the desert where he would be able to nurture those things of God so that he would know God's strength and God's presence. And so this is what we're finding Moses in God's training ground in the backside of the desert. And then we get here to verse 2 as he's there by the mountain of God. This is Mount Sinai. This is in Horeb. That he has moved the flocks. It's about 2 days from where Jethro literally had his household in the wilderness. And it says this, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, it's not uncommon to see brush that was in this wilderness. Acacia wood was, or bushes that were there. Often they would have flash fires. And so because of the intense heat of the desert, and things would become extremely dry. So it wasn't a totally uncommon sight to see a bush flare up, or they would have some kind of brush fires that would take place. But for Moses to go by and to see this bush burst into what appeared to be flames and yet being totally unconsumed was a striking event. And so he turns aside. And when God saw that he turned aside, he says these things to him, beginning in verse 6. God spoke out of the bush to him and not only told him to take off his shoes, and this is a holy place. God announces who he is. He says, listen, I want you to know who you're talking to. He's going to say, number one, I am the God of the past. Verse 6, moreover, I said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he hid his face. He's the God of the past. He says also, I am the God of the present, because he says this right in verse 7. He says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Not only he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the past, but he is presently seeing the anguish that God's people are going through right now at this time. And then he goes and he shows that he's going to be the God of the future, because he tells Moses what Moses needs to do. Now, let me go over some of the things that God is going to do for Moses, because he tells us here in verse 12. Remember, this is the agenda, the assignment that God is giving him as he appears in the burning bush. And so in verse 12, most of the points are there. He says it right in the first thing, and he says, certainly I will be with thee. Now, the assignment I'm going to give you, Moses, I'm going to be there throughout the entire event. Certainly. I will be with you. Second, he says, listen, I'm going to give you a token. Now, it's a twofold token, because you have the token of the burning bush that is before him. Let me tell you, that is probably burned into his mind. He will never forget this bush that is not consumed. And out of this, here we have the Lord who is speaking to him. You're not going to forget something like that. That is something you're going to pull out of your pocket and remember for the rest of your life. But he also gives a second token in the midst of this, and let me read it here, right in the middle of verse 12. He says, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve the God upon this mountain. So he says, not only this token of the burning bush that you see in front, this is, I'm telling you, but also it will confirm this assignment I'm giving you, because you are going to be marching out with all the Jewish people back to the same spot, to this mountain, and you will know for sure, not just by a burning bush, but by the reality that you will have all these people, my people, delivered. Wow. And so those are two simple things. Not only he has given us something that would encourage him, but also the promise that it would be future. Verse 13, he lays out the detailed plan. In fact, it's actually verse 13 and following. He starts telling Moses what to do. Because look at like verse 15. It says, and God said, moreover, Moses, thou thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. So he literally is saying, no, Moses, I know it's going to be kind of tough, but I'm going to tell you, these are the words that you need to say to my people. And so he tells Moses what to say when they come up to talk to him. He not only does this, look at verse 16. He says, I'm going to actually tell you what to do, not just the words that you need to say, but this is what you must do. He says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them. So he says, listen, I want you, so just so there will be no confusion, when you get into the land, go to the elders. If you don't know who they are, just ask for the elders. Gather the elders, and then when you get them there, these are the words you need to say to these elders. Now, it's a pretty simple plan. God laid this thing out. Moses, all he had to do was just, oh, bullet number three. Oh, this is what I got to do. And so he should be able to do these events. He goes, and then in the latter part of verse 12, he gives that last little bullet, because he's appointing a time, and he says, this is what it's going to be like. He says, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And so the end result of this is you're going to find out you're going to be serving me at this mountain. And did they not spend a year there at that mountain when he brought them out? He laid it all out for him. All Moses had to do is just do it. I have found that's the toughest thing that people face. God makes things simple. We make things difficult. Moses, notice how he sounds just like us. Look at verse 11. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? Who am I? Why should I go? I mean, why did you pick me? Have you ever think that sometimes when God has told us that we need to go and go out and to preach the gospel to the world? Who, me? Are you kidding me? Second thing, verse 13. Notice what Moses said. It's the latter part of verse 13, the last phrase of verse 13. He says, what shall I say to them? You ever gotten there and you're going to share the gospel and you're thinking, ha! What should I say to them? I mean, I am at loss at words. I like this because Moses is human and he struggles with the same thing that you and I struggle with. Who am I that I should go? And then what shall I say unto them? And then chapter 4, verse 1, he says another interesting thing right in the middle of verse 1. He says, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice. But you don't understand my family. When I get to my family, no way will they listen to me. When I get to my workplace, I'm going to tell them, and what they're, you know what they're going to say? They're not going to believe a word I say. That's what Moses is saying. And then verse 10, chapter 4. Right in the middle of it, Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord my God, I am not eloquent. You know, in other words, I'm not a person that can really, really, really speak. I'm not clear in the things that I say. No way on earth. I mean, pick someone else who's more influential. Pick my wife, man. She could talk rings around me. You know, some of you guys are thinking that, or some of you gals are thinking, well, pick my husband, man. He could do this. And then the last one. It's my favorite, verse 13. It's kind of tough in the King James, but I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to give you a modern-day translation of this passage. And he says, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." So let me translate that for you. "Oh, my Lord, please send somebody else." Boy, I'll tell you what, that's Moses for you, but that's us also. Doesn't God say, "I'm going to be with you"? He says it in Hebrews, like chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "And he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And so that means, how many believe God believes that God meant that when he said that for us? How many believe that? "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." So when you go and you do the task that God has assigned you, will God be with you or will he have left you? He'll be with you, really not. So the next time you're going and the Lord is kind of knocking at your heart and you're supposed to say something to this person that's right there. Now, did God leave you yet or is he still with you? He's still with you. Okay. He also says this, like in John chapter 14. You'll have to turn there in verse 16. He says, "And I pray the Father." This is Jesus now speaking, and he's sharing. "I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." So not only is the Lord with you, but he has given us within us the comforter, the Holy Spirit, so that he has empowered us to do the things that were to do. I mean, it's very similar, isn't that what he was doing with Moses? Second thing that he said to Moses that he would do, he says that he would give Moses a token. Remember the token of the burning bush? And then also the token of the successes that as he brings them out. Well, just like that burning bush that did not get consumed, but in out of the midst of the bush was the voice and the Lord was present there. Have you ever thought about what is in the midst of us as well? This is the token he has given you, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. He's given you, the earnest is a down payment. It is the Holy Spirit that he has given to us, and it is like the guarantor. And often we can sense his presence in our lives if we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He tugs at our heart. He convicts us of our sin. He sometimes encourages us when we're down. He illuminates the Word of God. He does all those things and so much more. And he says, listen, he has sealed us with this. It's the guarantor. It's the token that when we go out and do as well, he can go and encourage us and strengthen us. He says it not just once. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, he says this, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of hope." Says it again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherein you have been sealed unto the day of redemption." So it's not like he's going to leave you. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He never leaves you. And he will be with you even to that day that you get redeemed and you have that eternal time with the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. And so same thing that he gave with Moses. He says, "I'll be with you. You know, I've given you a token." He has even given us a detailed plan. He says, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses both to me and in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." Well, that was for the disciples. He started off, you're right here in Jerusalem, and then you go out, and once you're in Jerusalem, you go to the outer areas here, you go to Judea, and then from Judea you go to Samaria, and then from Samaria you go to all the people in the world. Well, isn't the same thing we're supposed to have? That's the direction he has given us, and he says, "I'm going to be with you when you go and do this." And we look forward to that time because he says, "I'm going to see you again. Where I am, you shall be also." All we have to do is just go and do. And so what do we say? Same thing Moses says. Who am I that I should go? Isn't it enough that he's with us? I will be with you even to the end of the world. Just keep your finger here in Exodus. Just go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. This is Jesus' words. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Whoa. I mean, think of these words. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And he did. It was his grace, his power. God is sovereign, by the way. And then ordained us to a task. And the task is that we're going to bring forth fruit. And it's not the purpose that the fruit is going to wither up and die. But this fruit that he has ordained us to go and to reap, it's going to remain. And he's going to empower us to do this very thing. It's not just the disciples, but also to us. And so, who am I that I should go? Well, I'll tell you what. We've been chosen. Not that we're worthy of anything like that, but God has chosen us. He calls us his people, a special people, a royal priesthood, a unique people, to go and to do a work for him. Who am I should go? Well, I'm nobody in myself, but I'll tell you what. I have been selected, elected by God, and now I am to go and do his thing. You have, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what has taken place. Also, Moses says, what shall I say unto them? Well, you know what? Go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. Notice how God answered that question. What should I say unto them? Well, God says, I'll tell you what you're to say to them. It says right here, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. In other words, I am the only God. I am eternal. I am the self-existing one. That's what he's saying. I am the only God. I am that I am. I don't change. And he says, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that sent me, or sent you. Well, I know that we have an I am in Scripture because Jesus says, I am. He says, I am the true light. That's who we tell them. We're representing. I'm representing the true light. I am the light of the world. Well, the one that I'm talking about is the light of the world. Not only the light that gives us understanding, but he gives us life. I am the bread of life. Jesus gives us eternal life. I am the good shepherd. He's the one who shepherds us. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who has sent us to go and to bring his sheep to him. He says, I am the door. In other words, there's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, this is what the I am. This is whom we tell we are. If you can't remember anything, just remember the I ams. That's what Jesus says, and then you can preach a message to them. This is the one you need to trust. Who am I that I should go? Well, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. That's what you are. And he has sent you. He sent you to tell them who he is, the great I am. And in 4:1, the question was, but behold, they will not believe me. Well, what matter is that? Do we not have a God? But I love how God answers this. See, you can go to chapter 4 of Exodus in verse 2. They're not going to believe me. So he says, okay, Moses, what do you got in your hand? And he says this in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he says, a rod. You know, a shepherd's staff. That's all it is, a rod. Do you know what God allowed that rod to do? This lowly shepherd rod. With that, he turned the Nile River into blood. He struck a rock with it and water came out. He held it high and the Amalekites were defeated. He lifted it up and the Red Sea was divided. This was a nothing staff. He threw it down and it turned into a serpent and it swallowed up the other serpents of the diviners and the necromancers that he had in Pharaoh's court. We have a God that can take nothing and make it something. And so we're questioning, you know, but they're not going to believe. Oh, he said, just use the simple things. And God will do the work. I mean, Moses didn't do any of the work. It was God who did the work. He even says, Moses, and I love this when he did this in verse 6. And the Lord says, furthermore, Moses says, besides this, I just want you to get, these are the external things. I can take care of the external things. I want you to know I can even take care of the eternal things, the internal things. He says this in verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put thine hand into thy bosom. So he puts his hand into his bosom. And he pulled his hand unto his bosom, and then he took it out, and behold, it was covered with leprosy. And then he says, put it back in, and he puts it back in. And then he pulls it out, and it was pure again. See, this is a God who can change hearts. He says, Moses, you can't do this. I can change the external, and I can also change the internal. I can change hearts. I can wash away sins. Doesn't matter whether you think they're going to believe you or not. This is my work. Just go and do it. So Moses, then he doesn't give up. He says, I'm not eloquent. I mean, think about this. If God can change a hand into leprosy and then back again and make it pure, if God can turn a rod into a snake and divide a Red Sea and do all these things, don't you think he can even use those stammering lips and he can lead someone to the Lord? I had a man that I was in seminary with, and he was paraplegic. And Walter, his name was, and he stammered. He had all kinds of problems. And yet, I'll tell you what, that man would go and he would stand before audiences and share how God would use and did things for him and how he cared for him. And here he is, the guy, everybody says, boy, I have nothing when you compare yourself to Walter. But I'll tell you, Walter led a lot of people to the Lord. Stammering lips and with half a body, he had more than anything else. He had the words of God. So, you know, I go crazy when someone says, I can't talk. You don't have to. All you have to do is just say the best you can, and God's going to do the great stuff. He's going to even give you the words that you need. The last thing that Moses said is, and I'll use my paraphrase, oh, Lord, please send somebody else. I hope that's not us, because God has chosen us to do a great work for him. And may he do this great work for us. You know, if we allow him to do it, are you willing to trust him to do great things? You know, he has called no one. He's not going to send anybody else. He's not going to send legions of angels to witness to this world. He has called us out of this world and equipped us and empowered us. And he's working behind the scenes. All we need to do is do one thing, go and do. May we do it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity that we can be used by you in a mighty way. And even as we examine Moses and his life and the struggles he had, Father, we recognize that even we struggle with similar things. But may we be faithful. May we step out and share the good news of the gospel. We thank you for these things now. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.